The music business was mean. Mean like Mel B was to Mel C. The road to fame was littered with broken dreams, broken hearts, and actual litter. And the air was thick with unanswered questions. In a grimy office above the noise and filth, two men worked tirelessly to solve these mysteries. Their names? Tony Blackburn and his young apprentice, Ricky Wilson. The sign on the frosted glass door? Ricky and Tony. Pop detectives.
Good morning.
Tony. Good morning. Oh, how are you?
I'm all right. You can see I've got a big cup of coffee in my hand.
Yeah.
It was a late night for me.
What were you up to?
I was undercover, of course.
Oh, I see. Yeah, of course.
No,
yeah.
I don't.
You don't rest at all.
I take this job home with me.
Well, that's what I love about you. Mm. And, you know, that's it makes a good team. I, on the other hand, just went home and watched a little bit of Coronation Street.
I know you love Coronation Street.
I love it. Yeah, I've been watching it since it started about over 50 years ago now.
I love it.
I mean, I probably one of those people that have watched more Coronation Street than anybody else. I went away on holiday and recorded it while I was away. And I was about 2 or 3 weeks behind, and I watched 17 episodes in a row. I put the day aside to just watch it, and I watched 17 episodes. Then it was about 7 o'clock, and I suddenly realised, oh, my God, there's two more coming up live. So 18, I watched 18 episodes.
So you're watching it every day?
Not every day. I mean, it's not on every day, but I watch it and I keep up to date with it. I mean, I don't want to go through the stage of watching having to put a whole day aside again. 17 episodes. People thought that was a bit sad.
Yeah, no, it's not sad.
I mean, the interesting thing about, say, Coronation Street, Rover's Return, I'd love to go in there.
Would you?
Yeah, I'd love to go
in
there.
We can sort that.
Yeah, that would be nice. But so much happens on the street.
Yeah.
And where I live, nothing happens. I mean, I've been there 25 years. We haven't had a mass murderer. We haven't had a fire. We haven't had people
But, Tony, I don't want to ask where you live. Obviously, we don't have
Hertfordshire.
No, don't tell me.
Hertfordshire.
You know, if I get...
All right,
I'll get kidnapped and I'm struggling and they're saying, tell me where Tony lives.
Yeah.
I don't want to know where you live.
All right, then. I'll say I live in Essex.
All right, so you live in Essex with the Essex crew.
Yes.
It's quite nice.
It's nice.
There's lots of corner shops.
There are a lot of corner shops, and there's a lot of 20-mile-an-hour speed limits, which I can't stand.
Oh, God, you're not going to get back onto the speed bumps, are you?
I am, because
Tony.
I got overtaken by a cyclist the other day.
Yes, I know.
Yeah, but there were times in the old days, you know, back in the 60s.
You can't keep going back to the 60s, Tony.
Why not? We didn't have all these speed cameras and all this nonsense that we have now.
But talking about the 60s, I've got a case. It's bleeped on my beeper.
Yeah, can you tell me what it is?
I'll tell you what it is. Jimi Hendrix.
Yes.
You've heard of him?
Oh, of course I have.
Yeah, of course you have. Jimi Hendrix. Did he really...
Around the Watchtower and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, there's a myth. There's a myth, Tony.
Yeah, okay.
Did he used to put LSD into his bandana...
Yeah.
...so that it seeped into his forehead to keep him high while he played? Mm. The legend goes that Hendrix would either conceal a tab of acid under the bandana...
Yes.
...on his forehead... you're wearing a bandana right now.
Yes, yeah, but I've got nothing underneath it, apart from my forehead. And I wouldn't want to soak it with LSD. Do you soak that stuff? What is it?
I don't know.
Well, I don't know what LSD...
I think you can get it in different forms. You can you can drink it out of a jar, like I've seen in a movie.
Yeah.
You can have it soaked in a tab.
Yeah.
And I think you can do all sorts with it, but it's a liquid.
And it makes you hallucinate, doesn't it? Is that right? Like things like coming out of walls and things like that.
Oh, I think you can see smells and hear colours.
Really? I personally wouldn't want to see anything coming out of a wall. I would find that totally unnatural and very scary.
Yeah, but
I know somebody who's seen that and they didn't like it at all. It's not one of those things that a snake coming out of a wall.
I don't know, but there is more to it than that.
The ceiling fan whirled around as slowly as a sun-stroked fly. Ricky and Tony, pop detectives.
I've been reading about this because obviously I do a lot of research.
Research.
And I've met a woman, and this woman knows a lot about it.
Can we get a hold of this woman?
I think we should give her a call.
Yep, okay.
Can I dial
her? Is she an expert?
Oh, proper expert.
Is she going to be out of her brains on this stuff?
Of course she is.
Yeah, okay. Let's talk to her.
Hello.
Hello, Amanda.
Who
Who is that?
That's Ricky, and this is Tony.
Lovely. Hello. Good.
How are you doing today?
Pretty well.
Right. What have you done today already?
I've been working all day. Work, work, work. That's all I ever do. I run this foundation called the Beckley Foundation.
I've heard
about
it.
What is it exactly, Amanda?
Well, we do scientific research into psychedelic compounds, LSD, psilocybin, how they help treat depression, addiction, how they enhance cognitive functioning, those sort of things.
So how do you get all the substances to mess around with? Because they're all illegal, aren't they?
They're all illegal. You have to get them with great difficulty through legal sources in order to do research. And that's quite a problem.
Yeah, it must be.
Yeah.
So, Amanda, you obviously feel there's huge beneficial things to be had from LSD, and you've used it quite a lot yourself, and you feel that there's a lot to give and the world can be a better place with more use of LSD.
Well, that's putting it very simplified, but yeah, I think it has enormous potential to heal all sorts of illnesses.
Am I right in thinking, Amanda, that you drilled your own head?
Oh, trepanning.
That's a whole different subject. I think it's better not mixing one's metaphors.
But it's still interesting, though, isn't it?
It's very interesting. It's very interesting. And I'm setting up some research at a centre currently on it.
Can we go on that? Because I've never met somebody who's drilled their own head before. And how do you, I mean, it's dangerous, surely, isn't it, that?
Obviously, it's potentially dangerous. Yeah. So, I mean, I don't recommend anyone does it.
No,
I recommend that we do research on it and discover if it has physiological benefits.
I mean, you'd have to get a drill to start off with from, say, B&Q or something like that, do you? Or do you have a medical drill?
I mean, I did it many, many years ago. Yeah. When I can't even remember, 1970.
Yeah.
I had a medical drill. I studied it with great caution.
Yeah,
and,
of course.
And did it very carefully. And anyway, but I'm not advocating anyone else doing it.
No, of course not.
Crikey, no.
You're
Amanda,
a professional.
Amanda, so let's get back onto the LSD. We all would kind of like to take it because we've heard the stories about seeing smells and hearing colours and everything going weird and opening up the doors of perception. But there's more to it than that, isn't it?
Well, it changes the mode of consciousness in a very interesting and reliable way. And we haven't done much research on it because it's so taboo. So we do the research mainly on psilocybin, which is the active principle in the magic mushroom. But LSD, we've done research. We've done a very, very interesting brain imaging study on LSD, which came up with some very interesting, beautiful pictures of what happens in the brain.
Uh-huh.
And then also I'm doing a whole series of studies, the first lab studies to study microdosing LSD.
Oh, microdosing. This is what I'm this is what I'm interested in. Because as a pop star who's currently still trying to release records, the idea of doing microdosing to enhance some kind of focus within your work.
Yes, absolutely. And that is what I'm about to study in a controlled lab setting.
Can you study on me? Because I'd be well up for this.
Ah, yes. So it said, you know, what it looks as though it does, it's the same as a bigger dose, but in a much gentler way, so that you can keep complete control of your consciousness, but be more focused, more enhanced.
And it releases the creativity inside you.
It definitely can, yes, yes. And that's the part I'm very interested in doing research on.
Okay, well, you can research on me, if you like.
Okay, that would be very nice.
I'm just quite interested in, can I bring you back to the magic mushrooms? Because the magic mushrooms, then I mean, I love mushrooms, but they're not the things you get in Tesco's, are they?
No, I don't like mushrooms at all.
I love them.
What's your perfect English breakfast?
Well, I like mushrooms, a little bit of toast.
But you don't like bacon because you're vegetarian?
I don't like bacon at all, no, of course not. No. But the magic mushrooms, would they be... They're not the same things that I would have for breakfast, are they? Are these different ones?
Mm.
And how would you know the difference?
They're small, kind of pretty little caps, like you see in Alice in Wonderland. Well,
what would happen if I ate one of these on with my toast for breakfast? Would I enjoy the breakfast even more?
You'd probably believe you were a great recording artist.
I see.
Yeah.
But you're quite right. You wouldn't get them in a supermarket or something. I mean, although every little helps, doesn't it? But you wouldn't. Yeah. You wouldn't want.
You don't get a smash them in a supermarket.
Hey, Tony, you've missed out one of your classics now.
What's that?
I like mushrooms, but I'm not a fun guy.
Oh, yes, that's a brilliant... You like that one, Amanda? I like mushrooms, but I'm not a fun guy.
Ah, yes.
Did you hallucinate with mushrooms? I mean, when you drilled your head and you filled it with LSD, what were you actually seeing?
I didn't drill my head and fill it with LSD.
Oh, I thought you did. I'm sorry. I thought you did. What did you fill it with then? Because you need a filler once you've drilled a hole in your head, don't you?
No. You don't go through... The brain is surrounded by three thick membranes, and you don't go through that when you trip out. You only go through the bone. And
you go through the bone?
Has been done around the world ever since 10,000 BC.
Wow.
You know, it's in every civilization, and it was done right up until the First World War, when they started to lobotomize people, which is a much more serious and unpleasant operation.
Lobotomize it.
And
yeah.
then they yeah. stopped doing trepanation. They thought it was just superstition.
Well, trepanation, trepanation is quite an extreme form of finding another plane.
Absolutely. I mean, I agree. Trepanation sounds a very, very wanky thing to do, and I don't advocate anyone, but what I do advocate is doing scientific research on it.
Yes, definitely.
If it brings about a physiological change.
Don't take this the wrong way, Amanda, but I think it's nuts.
I mean, it sounds very excessive nowadays.
It does, isn't
but,
it? Yeah.
I mean, back then, late 60s.
So you wouldn't do it? Yeah, well, the 60s, people were... I mean,
I studied it for 4 years. I didn't do it lightly, I'd like to tell you.
I get that. I mean, Tony didn't wear Cuban heels lightly, but, you know...
No, I gradually grew into them. But, I mean, the 60s was a strange time. Actually, funny enough, Amanda, you might find this strange, but I was never, ever offered a drug in the 60s.
Ah, you moved in certain circles then.
Well, I was out on the North Sea, yes. But we didn't have any.
So Tony was the heart of the 60s in my brain. But this is the thing. This gets us back to the question, which is, could Jimi Hendrix have played guitar properly high on LSD?
Absolutely. I would imagine he was high on LSD when he played it. The music sounds very... as if he was. But, the thing about LSD, you can titrate it, you can dose it
at
any level. So he might have just had enough to get his focus up and get his energy more inspired, but without going too high.
Does it seep through the skin, Amanda?
If you drill a hole,
funny enough,
without drilling a hole.
Scientific opinion differs. So I really don't know, but why should you do it that way when you can perfectly well take it in by the mouth, which is so much simpler.
It's so much simpler.
Do you put it under your tongue? Is that? I mean, I don't know. I mean, I take CBD oil.
Where do you stick that, Tony?
Under my tongue.
Under your tongue?
Yeah, three drops in the morning.
You can apparently take it up your bum as well.
Can you?
Yeah.
Much easier under your tongue. Do you take CBD oil at all, Amanda, or not? You haven't got into
it. I did some early research on CBD. I'm a great advocate of it.
Yes.
It has amazing potential to... treat in a wide variety of conditions.
Yes.
So, it's wonderful stuff, yeah. And it's non-psychoactive, so you won't feel it in that way at all.
So, Amanda, a lot of people would say that we shouldn't be doing drugs and things anyway, and if we're happy not doing drugs, well that's, you know, that's all right, isn't it?
Yeah, I think that's great.
Yeah,
yeah.
Brilliant.
I don't think drugs are for everyone at all. I just think...
No. But you've done a lot of drugs in your life.
What?
You've done a lot of drugs in your life.
Well,
I mean, you spent most of your life being out of your brains with the stuff. Is that right or not? Or am I exaggerating slightly there?
Of course not. I work 15 hours a day, you know. I mean, I'm a worker.
Yes.
I'm not.
But some people would say you can't work taking drugs.
I think drugs have a advantages in certain situations because they can change consciousness in a very interesting way, very yes. similar to meditation.
Yes.
You can suddenly get to that mystical experience.
Oh, I know, Amanda. Amanda, I had a chocolate bar the other night, and it was an Elizabeth Shaw mint.
Oh, yes, I love Elizabeth Shaw.
Oh,
yeah.
I know. I had an Elizabeth Shaw mint chocolate, and I put it in my mouth, and I thought to myself, I'm in heaven.
The strange thing is, back in the 60s, before it was illegal, when I was very fond of LSD, we took Elizabeth Shaw peppermint mint to keep our sugar level normal.
Really?
So I loved Elizabeth Shaw.
Right. I tell you what, Amanda, you, me and Tony, we'll sit down. If we can't get some Elizabeth Shaws, we'll sit down with a box of Matchmakers. Oh, I like them. Do you like Matchmakers?
I love Matchmakers, yeah.
Matchmaker.
Yeah, very nice.
The mint ones.
Yeah, the mint ones. Christmas. I always think of Christmas.
I always
that,
think of Christmas. Do you like Christmas, Amanda?
I love Christmas.
It's all lights.
Oh, do you have a big Christmas tree?
Yes, sometimes. Sometimes. I love Christmas as we all do with my children and now with my grandchildren. Yeah, I love
it. It's funny. I love the artificial Christmas trees and my wife will just not allow me to have one of those and I would really like it. Like, do you have an artificial Christmas tree or not?
Well, I live in the country, so I don't need an artificial one.
No, she has. She just goes out. Just go out and dances naked round a real one.
Ah, well, I don't really dance naked.
Oh, really? Come on, Amanda.
I do. I go out in the garden and dance naked round the garden on Christmas Eve. It's just a thing I like to do.
Very, very good.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, Amanda, for speaking to us today. We really appreciate your input, and I think we have a little bit more of insight into what it's like to have taken LSD for a long time.
Yes.
And the tree panning, I'm obsessed with knowing more about it. But
do remember, all of that was long ago in the 60s, before such things were illegal.
I know.
It doesn't seem to have done you any harm, Amanda. You sound fantastic.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Well, I'm firing on all cylinders still, thank goodness.
Absolutely, yes. I think I'm going to go out and get a magic mushroom.
I think I'm going to go out and get a drill, Tony.
Well, I've got one at home. You can borrow mine if you like.
No, I'm using on you.
Okay. Amanda, thank you very much.
Thank you.
It was a complicated business, but they knew the nuts and bolts of it. Plus the screws and washers and wing nuts. Tools in hand, here come Ricky and Tony. Pop detectives.
Well, I think we need to get Jimi Hendrix's side of the story. Tony, there's a number in the Rolodex.
Yep.
Let me just look through it.
You've got the Rolodex
there. I've got it here.
Yeah.
From a man who knows everything about the great man himself.
He's a fanatic, a stalker, or what?
He's called Christian Lloyd.
Ah.
He's an academic on Jimi Hendrix.
Hi there, how are you?
Hi, Christian, how are you doing?
Good, thanks.
Hi, that's Ricky, and I'm Tony.
So we know you've done studies on Hendrix. You've written a book about him. So we're looking into the myth. You know the thing about the bandana, LSD, seeping into the forehead, gubbins?
Yes. Yeah, what do you think? What's your thinking on that, Christian?
I would say it's definitely a myth because...
Straight in there with myth. Straight in there. Myth.
Yeah. Because Hendrix... When he took drugs, he enjoyed taking drugs, various kinds of drugs, and this is not an efficient way to take a drug. If you wanted to get LSD into your system, there are other much ways of doing it.
Out the bum.
Swallowing it, licking it off a piece of paper and so on. So it doesn't make sense in that sense if he wanted to take LSD.
You see, you love Jimi Hendrix. I love Doris Day, who you probably haven't heard of. And if I took LSD and I saw Doris Day coming out of a wall, I would actually love that.
You would love that.
I would love that. That would be my dream come true. But I wouldn't want to see Jimi Hendrix coming out of a wall
personally. What if she had, like, vipers coming out of her eyes?
She could do no wrong for me if she had vipers coming out. I'd rather she didn't.
The first time Hendrix took LSD, it was in New York City, and he was warned not to look in a mirror. So he went to the bathroom in the flat he was staying at, looked in the mirror, and saw Marilyn Monroe's face looking out of the mirror.
Wow, I saw that in the biopic. Have you seen the biopic?
Oh, All Is By My Side, yeah.
Yeah, I watched a bit of it the other night, but I was interrupted by my drunk friend George, who came in late.
Oh, he's a...
No, she.
Oh, she, yeah, she's a nuisance.
And she came in, and so I was trying to watch the biopic and to do research for this chat, and I thought Andre 3000 was very good at Jimi Hendrix, wasn't he?
Yeah, it didn't get very great reviews, but
it was quite slow.
Pretty good job.
Have you ever met Jimi Hendrix, Christian?
No, I'm nowhere near old enough.
Okay. Have you met Andre 3000?
No, sadly not. I'd love to.
So what is it that turned you on to Jimi Hendrix exactly? I mean, was that from an early age? You just loved the music or what?
No, we didn't have any of his records around the house when I was growing up. So I got into it later when I was a student. It was just when a lot of stuff in the 60s was starting to get reissued. And it was during that period in the 80s when everything had like horrible clattering, you know, gated snare drum sound and all that. So I was trying to get away from that, basically. And once you hear him, if you've got ears, you know, you'll never stop listening to him.
Totally relate to that.
The way he sings draws you in as well, because you know he was a very reluctant vocalist. He never really rated himself, so he's often quite low in the mix when he's singing, so you have to kind of go to him as a singer. But he has a very warm, charming kind of voice, and at other times, you know, his voice is quite raunchy and aggressive and stuff.
Well,
and
I'll interrupt you here for a minute, Christian, because I've been a judge on a singing competition, famously
The Voice. Let's name it.
And I was always put off by people that were classically brilliant at singing who had no emotion behind their voice.
Yeah,
and Jimi Hendrix is a perfect example of someone that is not actually a great singer, but can portray a lot of emotion.
Yeah,
he's the epitome of that. Bob Dylan, another one. And to an extent,
he's miserable, Bob Dylan, isn't he?
Oh, he's a...
I wouldn't like to have a night out with him, would you?
Well, he actually has once visited my local Jamaican restaurant. Oh, what do you know about the parakeet rumour?
Well, that's a really long-standing rumour. I think it probably dates back to something like the 70s or maybe even the late 60s. And there are apparently flocks of parakeets that fly around South London.
We've got
some.
Yeah, no, name my house. The yellow parrots. They come around my house.
Yeah, they come around. They don't talk, though, do they?
They're not from Jimmy, are they?
That's what people say, but no, he never owned a parakeet. He owned a dog called Ethel Flume. That was about it.
We've got a lot of dogs where we live as well.
Oh, I've got a lovely dog.
Yeah.
Oh, he's so confused at the moment.
Yeah.
You know, I took my dog to my old house today.
Yes.
Which is the only house he's ever known.
Yes.
And he was so confused.
Really?
Because it was empty of all the furniture.
Oh, that's a shame.
And he just started barking and looked.
Little eyes looking up at you and things like that.
Oh, and I didn't know what to do. But then my friend Craig said, "You stop projecting your emotions onto the animal."
Well, he's absolutely right in a way. Mm. What's your favourite dog, Christian? Do you have a dog lover?
Not really. No, I like cats.
Oh, cat person, eh?
Yeah, I know. I'm off the air now.
Have you ever had a cat, Tony?
No, I'm not a cat person. I find them slightly frightening. And they just don't... Then a dog is a friend. A cat, they just use you for food and things like that. And then they wander off at night time and you don't know what they're doing. And they kill things. And I don't like, you know, they bring in a rat mouse.
And they congratulate
them or something.
You're just describing Grace.
I would be a bit worried if my wife bought me in a mouse. Are you married by any chance, Christian?
Yeah, I am, yeah.
Yeah. Would you be worried about that? I mean, if your wife bought you in a mouse, for goodness sake.
It's never crossed my mind.
Well,
it hasn't crossed my mind, but it's crossed. I mean, it's obviously playing on Ricky's mind.
She's never bought me a mouse. She bought me a Kinder Egg the other night.
Well, that's all right.
I just really like the chocolate. I'm not bothered about the toy.
I'm with you on that.
I think there's a really nice mix of dark and white in a Kinder Egg.
Yeah.
And also, I don't feel too full afterwards. Do you think Jimmy'd be more interested in a chocolate outer? Or the toy in the Kinder
Egg. The toy, definitely.
The toy.
What makes you say that? That's quite controversial.
He liked looking deeply into things.
Oh, right.
Yeah, you wouldn't want to look deeply into chocolate, would you, really?
Yeah, no. But also, it's quite Jimmy, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He saw layers of consciousness and so on, you know, get right in there.
Hey, I got something the other day and I bought a packet of Cadbury's Robins.
Gee, I don't know that.
Basically, cream eggs, but they'd repackage them for Christmas.
Why do they do that? Confuses everybody, doesn't it?
It confuses you.
Everything confuses me.
I know.
And it would confuse Grace as well.
You know what she's doing now?
What's she doing?
She's visiting old people.
Well, that's nice.
None of them are
I haven't seen her today. I bet Jimi Hendrix wouldn't have done
I get
that,
a bit
he?
Jealous.
What?
Because some of them aren't as old as me. But and I go, well, how old's the oldest? And she goes, the oldest is 60 and yeah. the youngest is 42. And I go, I'm 42.
Well, you've got to come to terms with it. I mean, when I became 40, I went through this midlife crisis.
Look at my dyed blonde hair. If you don't think this is a midlife crisis.
Yeah, but I bought a sports car as well.
Did you?
And then somebody at a petrol station, because I spend most of my life, as you probably noticed, at petrol
stations. You love petrol stations.
Came up to me and said, that car's too young for you. You know,
I've never...
I just went to the petrol station to get yogurt, for God's sake, and I wasn't even getting petrol.
Is it for rubbing on or for...
No, it was for actually swallowing. Yeah, I was just... I just like yogurt. I don't rub it on anything.
Was Jimmy a yogurt man,
Christian? I don't know about yogurt, but he was into sports cars.
Oh, right. What did
what he... What sort of sports car?
What did he like? That's the surprising that he likes, but I thought he was like, you know...
He likes American muscle cars, but the thing about him was that he was short-sighted and he refused to wear glasses. Mm. So he did have a couple of like fairly major crashes.
Really?
California, yeah.
Really?
He should have gone to Specsavers.
He was a dangerous driver by all accounts.
Yeah, but I mean, if he'd gone to Specsavers, they would have
trying to get sponsors for the show.
No, it's not.
It's ludicrous, mate.
No, but Specsavers. I've been to Specsavers, and I think Jimi Hendrix would have benefited from that.
I can ask him about the eye patch. So, Christian, one of Hendrix's outfits, one of his famous outfits, was in the vault of the Hard Rock Cafe.
Yeah,
and I went down there once, and I had a cyst. On my eyelid.
I remember it.
It was disgusting.
I saw it.
Oh, it was disgusting.
Mm. It's funny, though, that my daughter, Victoria, who's 22 years old, and I was talking to her last night, and she said, when you see Ricky, and I said that we were doing this together, she said, I still fancy him.
Oh.
Even with the eye patch.
With the cyst. So I had an eye patch.
She didn't see the cyst. Yeah, she saw the eye patch.
It was disgusting.
You might have put her off if you'd...
It was yellow. It was horrible. Anyway, yeah. So I went to the vault of the Hard Rock Cafe.
With your eye patch on.
With the eye patch on. And they had a mannequin of Jimmy and with his outfit from the 60s from Woodstock. And I placed my eye patch onto that...
On Jimmy Hendrix?
On the mannequin.
On the mannequin?
Yeah.
Wow.
And then that mannequin now travels the world.
Yeah.
And they probably think he hasn't, you know. So that was not Jimmy's eye patch. I put that on that.
Yes,
mannequin.
I know, but you still have that eye patch on when you have the cyst infection.
Yeah.
And if anybody's taken that eye patch off,
there
could be people all over the world now with that cyst.
Yeah, but I think there are probably people in white gloves holding it, thinking it used to be Jimmy's, but it wasn't. It was mine.
Ah.
So, Christian, if you're ever doing any research and it says that Jimmy wore an eye patch, he didn't.
Okay, good. I've got that straight. Good.
It was mine. And I did it as a joke. It was a prank.
Yeah. Good. No, thanks for clearing
it. It was a Jimi Hendrix.
Yeah.
More on Jimmy's drug use.
Yes.
So what else did he used to do? Tell us about it, Christian.
Some of the best evidence is in Noel Redding's book. So he was the bass player. And one of the things that kind of surprised me, but not really when you think about it, is that when they were touring, they would take a lot of amphetamines just to keep going because they were playing, night after night after night. And, the travel was pretty bad in those days. So they always call them leapers and creepers in those days. So leapers are uppers like amphetamines and then creepers are downers like Valium and stuff like that.
Wow.
And Redding said, once they'd finished touring, it took him 2 or 3 years before he could ever sleep properly. So it really, I think that was one of the things that damaged their health quite badly, actually.
Absolutely, I'd have thought so, yeah.
But it's the bandana thing we're interested in. So do you know any stories why he wore a bandana?
So when he first came to England, his hair was actually initially sort of based on Bob Dylan. He was a massive Dylan fan.
Really?
So he grew his hair out and then... Mitch Mitchell permed his hair and Noel Redding had naturally curly hair so they could all grow sort of Dylan style hair. And then Hendrix straightened his hair so he could make it the way he wanted. And then once he got interested in sort of African-American politics and he was kind of began to talk to people in the Black Power movement, he then let his hair go natural, so it was an afro, and that's when he started wearing a headband, so in about 1968, just to keep it sort of keep it out of his eyes, and also like a style thing as well.
So the idea that he took drugs behind it, you just think that's just people adding stuff to the myth.
Yeah, I don't think it's true at all, because there's no, if you look at all the kind of rumor mills online, nobody ever identifies a particular gig or photograph where this is supposed to have happened. Some people say he cut his head so it would go through his bloodstream.
We've looked at the photographs and we can't see any images of cuts on his head.
No, I think it might come from the story about Albert Hofmann, who was the guy who synthesized LSD. So he worked for Sandoz in Switzerland. And in 1943, he'd synthesized this substance, wasn't quite sure what it would do. And then he was handling it, and it came through his fingertips, like it must have been a massive kind of dose.
Well, I think about this all the time. The other day, Tony, I was rubbing some ibuprofen gel on a very sore part of my...
Yeah. What part of your body were you rubbing it on?
Upper buttock.
Oh, I see, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
And as I was doing that, I thought, this is doing some good in my upper buttock.
I'm not convinced it can get through the skin.
Yeah, but then... I thought to myself, if I'm doing that, why are my fingertips numb?
Well, that's a point. I'd never thought of that. What do you think on that, Christian? Have you ever had that experience at all?
Have I had a numb bum?
No, I haven't. No, I can't say I haven't.
I'm saying there must be a way of putting drugs into the thing that infuses into your body.
Yeah, I suppose you're right.
Because
you rub these
things on yourself all the time.
I've said before, the only thing I do, I moisturise with Bulldog.
I know, and, God, it's all about the...
No, but it does, anti-ageing.
Bulldog, Twiglets, Amazon. That's what you want, isn't it?
Yeah, not Twiglets. No, I was a bit disappointed with that because they come. You know, when you go into a pub and the nuts and things like that, they're all on a cardboard.
Do you remember
when
you used to get the cardboard thing and as you took off a pork scratching, it would reveal a saucy picture?
Oh yes,
remember those days?
I remember those days. Yes,
do you remember that?
Yeah,
that's weird.
You can't do that anymore.
No,
not that I'd necessarily want to. Actually,
no, I'm not saying that. I'm
because when that happened, I used to cover my eyes and I didn't want to.
I thought it was terrible.
Do you like Twiglets, Christian?
No, I hate them. I think they're horrible.
There we go.
I like Monster Munch.
Oh, which flavour? Red Hot, pickled onion or beefy?
Pickled onion. Yeah, the strongest flavour, Chris, I've ever tasted anywhere on the planet.
Really?
I still like salt and vinegar.
That's... If I was on a desert island, if you had desert island crisps...
Yes.
Have we just invented another podcast?
Desert island crisps. That is a terrific...
Desert island crisps.
That's brilliant. That's right. Brilliant.
I think salt and vinegar walkers are probably what I choose. Christian, you were here when we thought of it, so you're a third-part shareholder of Desert Island Crisps.
It's a brilliant idea, yeah.
Did Jimi Hendrix like crisps or not?
He must have liked
crisps. Funny you say that. There is a picture of him at the recreation of his flat on Brook Street eating a bag of Walker's crisps.
Oh, wow, my goodness, mate. It all comes around, doesn't it?
There you go.
Yeah, but you can't tell the flavour, unfortunately. Right.
Well, I'm sure that we could recreate it, and I'm sure it wouldn't be cheese and onion because they are the devils.
I think we just finish on a winner there, Christian, because you brought us back to crisps.
Okay, thank you, Christian. We'll invite you back for the next episode of Desert Island Crisps with Tony Blackburn, Christian Lloyd and Ricky Wilson.
With his brains and his looks, they could go places. Ricky and Tony, pop detectives.
I think it's solved. He didn't do it.
He didn't do it.
We've talked to some experts about LSD.
Yeah.
We've talked to some experts about bandanas. And we've talked about crisps.
We have, and we've invented a new television program, Desert Island Crisps.
I know. So this brings me to a third thing. Because you know he used to put a bandana on his head?
Yes.
To apparently absorb LSD into his body.
Yeah.
Well, when I was at school...
You have a bandana?
No, I had a blazer.
You didn't put it on your head, though,
no,
did you?
But I used to, like, in class, open a packet of Frazzles in my blazer pocket.
Yeah.
Before the bell went.
Yes.
Open them.
Yeah.
So it'd be in my pocket.
Yeah.
And then I'd take one out, one at a time. It'd just be about 45 minutes to eat the whole packet, but just by putting them in my mouth when the teacher wasn't looking.
Why just one at a time?
Because I'd put them in my mouth and just soak them.
Yeah, just...
Like, let them dissolve. Mm. But that's very similar to the LSD thing, isn't it?
Well, there was a similarity to it.
Yeah.
I wonder what would happen if you put one of these things in
a
frazzle on your forehead.
Underneath the bandana.
Yeah, underneath the bandana. And let it just soak in.
I don't think I'd get the bacony flavour.
You don't think so?
No.
Well, if you drilled a little bit in your head.
The hole.
Not that I would suggest that you do that.
If you drilled a hole, you'd have to stick a knick-knack in.
Yes, that's true, yeah. Yeah. I think it's really dangerous to do a thing like that. I wouldn't suggest it. I hope you never do that.
So, kids, if you're out there, don't go sticking knickknacks in your ears or LSD up your bum.
No, that's the message that comes from this.
So Jimi Hendrix did not soak his headband in LSD. Case solved.
Case solved. Shall I stamp it?
Rubber stamp it. Case solved. Hey, so that's that then, Tony.
Oh, that's a case.
That's a case indeed. Yeah. Get in touch, rickyandtony.com, if you've got any more information on the subject. But I think that we know.
Or if there's any subject you want us to delve into deeply, as you've heard now, we can do. We've got all the facilities here.
You can send us an email.
Yes.
podcast@rickyandtony.com. Mm. Find us on Twitter now.
Yep.
Rick and Tony Pod.
Yes.
The music business was mean, but Ricky and Tony could do mean. They were born for it, like a mayfly was born to die at the end of the day. They slammed shut the filing cabinet, pulled the cord on the Venetian blind, threw on their trench coats, and headed out into the rain. Until next time.
I love your revelation.
Oh, thank you. Just flipping through it. Oh!
That's an interesting one, but we'll save that one for another episode.
You tease.
I know.